His platoon sergeant was Sergeant Bethune. And I mean, and Bethune,
that Bones,
huh?
What was the name you gave him?
Bethune.
Cornell Bethune.
Okay.
And Bethune was with the 1st of 38, 2nd of 38, Charlie Company 2nd of 38 in 1963 when I came on active duty. And that's where I met him for the first time. And he had been platoon sergeant of that company from before that. So he had been there. He had been in Germany with the 38th when it was a battle group. So he and Willie Walker and those NCOs had been there in that company for a period of minimum 2 years, and some as many as 5 years.
It was an ideal. If you were a second lieutenant right out of whatever, OCS, West Point, didn't make a difference. You could have reported into C Company, and you had a ready-made situation. You had long-time experienced NCOs.
You need a second lieutenant in that company like you need a whole of that.
Seriously, but really but just to give you an idea, okay, these guys came in, and then they sent two other Marv Sprouse and Levin from somewhere back. The XO I had was a kid named Paderewski. You remember Paderewski, JD?
What happened to St. John? When did he show up?
Well, when we got rid of Paderewski, he was a jerk. No, we got rid of him.
Where did Canetto fit in? Jim Canetto. Okay.
Anyway, St. John, the XO, was at Brigade. He got run off out of Brigade. Ran out.
Oh, really?
Fucking helicopter pilots up there. Oh, their wives, excuse me. Their wives. And a few other little dark clouds. And he, good XO, good thief, wasn't he?
Oh, he's a great thief.
Son of a bitch.
Walking around
with
a wider buntline special tied on his leg. That's not an exaggeration. That is not an exaggeration.
But anybody know where he is today?
Last time, JD sent me a thing.
Probably in jail.
Some first cab publication, reunion publication. St. John was working at his address was the Acme Boot Company somewhere in Tennessee. He was from Tennessee.
Huh.
Yeah, but that was it.
So you two guys joined the company about the time they were
left.
Now you went by rail? Where did you get on the Buckner?
Oh, we went by rail from Fort Benning to Charleston by train, troop train.
Yeah, see, we had a big discussion about
that.
And
it pulled right up to the dock.
Jim doesn't remember this, but Boyd is entirely right, because after we got the announcement that it was, he kept hinting that we can't tell anyone we're going to Vietnam, but you're going to Vietnam, boys, and that's it. And then we got we heard Johnson speak in that truck. We listened to the report, and we got back, and then everything.
So wait a minute. So you guys knew that you were going to Vietnam before the official announcement was made.
Right. Yeah.
Well, hey.
Yeah.
45-day when the Konex containers arrived in your company areas, you know, truck after truck of them.
Yeah. And then what happened is, I think, and correct me here, is in that interim between that announcement and when we have the official word, it was, I think everybody was sent on 2 weeks or 20-day furlough if they wanted. They could, have a big administrative thing there where kids go home real quick and get back.
I went home for a week to Chicago.
A week or 10 days, what do you have? About a furlough. Came back, and then it was loading us, stripping out the our quarters, our offices, loading all that stuff up.
You and I hadn't even moved into our offices.
Yeah, we hadn't even moved in. And then on the appointed day, we hopped in the cattle trucks and went down
Sprite.
To the...
Jim, I have a Sprite.
I have one too, finally. Then we took by cattle truck to the railhead at Fort Benning, overnight to the naval base at Charleston, which is now closed, onto the Buckner, and down through the Panama, stopped at Long Beach, and went over. That was the only stop we made. And somewhere on that trip, 6,500 pair of combat fatigues were lost.